Front Country is a progressive roots pop band, originally from the San Francisco area, now based in Nashville. And I'm here with the lead singer and one of the main songwriters of this band, Melody Walker. Thanks for being with me today.
Hi, Allie.
Altogether, the majority of the songs on this new album, Other Love Songs, are quite emotional and tend towards relationship themes, sometimes with a twist. Hence the title, Other Love Songs. And I feel like love songs should all have a twist because I think that love usually has a twist to it. You wrote most of these songs, and it seems like there's a lot of lyrics in there about getting over anger in a relationship and how to make up and how to fix things when they're broken. And I'm wondering, sort of, what did you learn about love in this project, and why were you exploring it so much through this latest album?
Yeah, I had been kind of challenging myself to write from a more emotional standpoint. I think I'd kind of been blocked off in that way as a songwriter before. I still kind of tend toward the philosophical or like sort of protest songs or things of that nature. But, you know, the love song is not dead. There's a reason that people still write love songs, because there's as many love songs as there are different kinds of people and different kinds of relationships. And it seems like there's always something new to say and some nuance there. So I wanted to kind of take a crack at that. And I'd been for a couple of years challenging myself to write from a more emotional, deeply personal kind of place. I think I started out in songwriting doing that in high school. Mopey songs that were like way too personal and way too specific. And then I'd gone way away from that. And I was kind of coming back to that now with the life experience that you kind of need to have to eventually write good songs, I think. I think in any writing, you don't have that much to say when you're new, and you've got to live a little bit. Like, the thing people talk about in songwriting is like, the personal is universal, you know, and the universal is personal. It's almost like feminism, like the personal is political, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that that's really true. Sometimes you can write about the most mundane detail of your own relationship, and it'll really relate to a lot of people, and they'll feel that too.
Baby, come on, let's go. If some-
You're tuned into Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Allie Lightfoot. That was the song If Something Breaks from the band Front Country. I spoke with the band's singer, Melody Walker, earlier this week. There was an article in Pace Magazine where you were described as an outspoken force in bluegrass, routinely calling out sexism, racism, and injustice, which is a difficult thing to do in an industry run by, you know, many conservative elements. When did you start doing this, and is it something that you consciously do, or you just sort of naturally call it like you see it?
I've always, like, personally been a really outspoken person to an annoying degree. If you know, if you ask anyone who knows me, I'm very opinionated. And I grew up in Northern California in a culture where nobody told me to be quiet, for better or for worse. I've always been opinionated, outspoken, and I grew up in a culture where social justice awareness and consciousness was the norm. But I also grew up in a place where you're always preaching to the choir when you're talking about stuff like that. And it's been a little bit different for me coming back to my roots in bluegrass. My dad used to play bluegrass with his buddies when I was growing up, and I used to go to bluegrass festivals. So coming back to that and being in a bluegrass band, or at least a bluegrass instrumented band, a band that plays in the bluegrass scene and goes to bluegrass conferences, has been an interesting sort of fish out of water experience for me ideologically. Mm-hmm. You know, no longer are you preaching to the choir. You know, you've got a lot of people who grew up very differently from the way that I grew up. And it's really interesting. I've gained a lot of understanding for where they're coming from. And I've also become much more firm in my own resolve for the things that I believe are right. And so just in the last year, our band has made a decision kind of collectively to not shy away from the political and not shy away from taking a stand for what's right, you know, in light of our current political climate. There's a lot of silence coming from sort of country and bluegrass and that side of things, you know. And I know a lot of people personally who definitely don't agree with what's going down, but they don't necessarily feel like they can speak out because it might cost them their career, might cost them gigs, might cost them fans. And since we're a bluegrass band that started in San Francisco and, you know, with a female lead singer with pink hair who's outspoken herself, you know, and we didn't really have the privilege to sort of fit in and blend in anyway, you know. And so I think we just decided that we should just be who we are and be open about it and maybe stand out as a band who is saying something and is standing up for what we believe in. I don't think we have much to lose, honestly, mm-hmm. when it comes to that, too.
So San Francisco is where the band formed, as you mentioned, and you've said that because you started out in an area that isn't typically known for bluegrass or roots music, in it, doesn't really have that kind of a scene happening, that you learned to play that music in your own way as a band and just with whatever tools you had at hand. And then the band moved to Nashville, which is sort of the American roots music capital. And but I imagine you're still trying to maintain a sound that isn't, you know, based on current trends or something mainstream. Do you find that that's been challenging in Nashville, or do you think that Nashville welcomes something that's different and isn't based in current trends?
Well, Nashville's like a city where a lot of people are moving every day. So it's all these transplants living there. And music is a huge industry. So is healthcare, you know, yeah. So there's lots of different types of people moving in. The real estate is booming. It's crazy. It's gentrifying like no other place I've ever lived. And Oakland and the Bay Area are pretty crazy, but Nashville's crazier. So there are all different types of little sub scenes going on, I think. And so we really just moved to Nashville because a lot of our friends were living in Nashville. And these friends are just similar bands who kind of grew up generally not in the South, came up learning to play roots music in their own particular way, whether they're from Michigan or Pennsylvania or New York or, like, you know, Washington State or wherever they came from, Boston. They're playing their own kind of different flavor of it. And they didn't come up in a scene where there were a lot of stringent rules for how you play this music, which you can find that a little bit in the Southeast, that there's places you can grow up where bluegrass is played in a very specific way and you don't break the rules. And, you know, everyone else who came from other places aren't constrained by that. And so I feel really lucky, actually. Might not have grown up in the tradition in the way that some other people have, but we've kind of somehow owned it nonetheless. And, you know, some people are threatened by that, that people are taking ownership of bluegrass from these different angles, but it really all just leads back to bluegrass. And anyone who listens to my band, Front Country, and says, oh, I didn't think that I like bluegrass, but I like you guys. I'm like, well, I hate to tell you, but you like bluegrass. And if they go searching for the word bluegrass on Google, they're going to find all kinds of Bill Monroe and Flatten Scruggs, and they're going to find the roots. And they're going to, some people are going to get really deep into that, and then they're going to start playing an instrument. And then, you know, bluegrass is thriving. So there's room for lots of different types of bluegrass out there, because all the roads lead back to the center of the tradition. A lot of people have misconceptions about why we moved to Nashville, which is kind of funny to me. You know, they're like, oh, trying to make it big, eh? That's not really why we moved to Nashville. It's just super easy to tour out of there. It's cheap to live comparatively, especially to the Bay Area. And there's just a really thriving music scene there, you know? We didn't go there to play the Nashville in-town industry game, you know? There's plenty of people moving there every day that want to do that. Your blonde country pop star wannabes, you know, that are trying to get a record deal, that are trying to co-write with the big co-writers and find the right producer and management and all this stuff. And that's a whole different game that we're not really even trying to play. You're just moving there because there's a concentration of people who do the same thing as you. And it's really inspiring to be around people who just get you.
Like an optical illusion, you might have to close your eyes and open them again to try and see it right. I've been known to judge some, you know I've been judged too. I've been wrong and then some, but I ain't wrong about you. Take a lot of pictures, snap them in your head, hold them in your hands, then do it all again. Tell me what's the best one. Oh, tell me how to be your perfect version of your favorite me. But give me from my good side, see me how I am. Shadows, oh, where I like to hide, 'cause we all have a good side in a different light. Oh, we all have a good side in a different light.
That's the song Good Side from Front Country. I spoke with the band's singer, Melody Walker, earlier this week. Your voice is really powerful to me. And the first couple videos that I watched, I was like, I mean, it definitely stands out. One reviewer described it as full and warm and with a growly dash of sass. And I thought that was a perfect description. A lot of songs on the new album really put a spotlight on that. I think The Good Side and Undone really highlight that. You have a lot of control and feeling in there. Can you tell me what gets you there? How do you sort of maximize the potential of your voice, whether it be what's going through your head when you're performing or what you do to take care of it or, you know, everything?
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of different vocal instruction from just all over the place. I went to college and I studied classical voice. And I studied, you know, opera, art songs, some early music. But that didn't really quite get me everywhere that I wanted to be to do folk music, pop music, you know, country music, things that are outside the realm of classical music. And so I studied with some great voice teachers in the Bay Area who were more pop vocal coaches. And they just gave me a lot to think about, different ways to think about singing. And yeah, I think, you know, generally the thing that you have to do is get out of the way of your own voice. You know, so many people want to sound like somebody else, or they do this thing where now I'm singing and you're like, no, you're not. You're pretending to sound like something you heard. And singing is just elongated speech. You know, you take your speech, you elongate the vowels, and pretty soon you're singing, and then you accentuate the pitches and create a melody with it. And that's all it is. And so it comes from your speaking voice. And a lot of people try to put on airs and put on a different voice that's not connected to their speaking voice. And that's, you know, the wrong approach, really, because we know how to speak generally at a normal rate for hours without losing our voice. But then some people, you know, lose their voice really easily singing. And it's because they're not doing the thing that they already know how to do when phonating while speaking. You're doing a lot right, usually. Some people really do have speech pathologies, but most of us have figured out how to speak and project our voice in a basic way. And if you just use the things that your body already knows about how to speak and don't forget those when you try to go to sing, it generally helps you out. That's kind of the basis of speech level singing, which is a style of voice coaching that I found to be really helpful after studying classical to kind of check that out. And I learned a lot about it because most of us don't like the sound of our own speaking voice. We hate it when we hear it recorded. And we feel like it sounds different than it does in our head. And you have to kind of get over that and realize that it's not about making a beautiful sound or what you think is quote unquote beautiful. It's not about that. It's about just healthy phonation, being able to get to whatever pitch that you want with a certain amount of like volume and power and have it not be a really tense experience for your body and, you know, eliminating tension. And you want to connect your breath to your voice, to the lyrics and the meaning, you know, behind it. And that's basically what you're trying to do. So there's a lot of unpacking layers of things about our preconceptions about what singing is supposed to be that allow us to get to our own authentic voice. And it took me years. The female voice doesn't mature until you're 30. For men, it's more like 25, 26. So, you know, there's some years there to kind of try to tap into your authentic voice, and it'll keep kind of opening up, and there's more to explore there. And you've got a good few decades after that where, you know, you're in the golden zone. So it's never too late to start singing.
You mentioned that you studied with some pop vocalists. And also, it seems to me that you know, that you guys don't feel that pop is a dirty word. Some people do. What is it that a pop vocalist might be tapping into? And what is it that you like about pop? What are the sort of, you know, positive attributes of that style of music in your mind?
Well, most pop vocalists are using kind of speech level singing techniques. You know, it's not like classical singing. It's not like opera. It's much more colloquial and sort of spoken, right? And I think that's the thing that I love about pop music and pop songwriting, is that it's usually kind of simple, or at least seemingly simple, and the message is usually simple and relatable and understandable, and hopefully catchy too, you know? So there's nothing wrong with pop music, you know? The Beatles are the kings of pop music, and most people agree that that's some of the best music that's been made in the last century, so... I think sometimes in the roots music genres, there can be this sort of animus towards pop music, but we just don't think it's a dirty word, you know? Pop music has been a huge part of my life, you know? I grew up really connecting with everything from Michael Jackson to Led Zeppelin, you know? And that stuff is near and dear to my heart, and I don't see it as lesser than other music. I don't see it as a guilty pleasure. You know, sometimes I'll listen to Katy Perry or Lady Gaga and sort of feel like it's a dirty, you know, guilty pleasure. But when you go in there and if you try to learn some of those songs, you see that there's complexity there and there's some cool stuff going on with the songwriting. And even in pop country songwriting, there's such clever turns of phrase, and the craft is so strong with country songwriters that there's something to learn there, you know.
Yeah, my daughter introduces me to a lot of pop music because she's 17. So what I get from it is that it's very emotional. It's like goes straight for the thing. I mean, if it's a night out on the town, it's the best night you've ever had in your entire life. If it's a boyfriend, it's the love of your life. You know, they go straight for the most sort of emotional place you could take the lyrics generally. And that's what I... It's accessible in that way for me.
It is. Yeah. I think pop does go right for the heartstrings. And why shouldn't you, you know, like that's people want to connect to music in a way that sort of reminds them that they're alive and emotional and capable of love and joy and like great sorrow, you know, and I think it's great. The world needs pop music, you know, and it doesn't need just high production value EDM pop music. It can handle some string band pop music too.
And finally, I wanted to ask you about the song Good Looking Young People that's on the new album. And yeah, I just love the lyrics. I'm wondering what inspired that song.
That song is kind of part of my weird, sick, twisted sense of humor as a songwriter, I think. You know, it's based on maybe some pop songs of old, you know, that are about generational divides. You know, you've got like songs by The Who and Pink Floyd that kind of breach that subject. And yeah, I was really feeling, you know, people are always talking about millennials these days. And I'm on the cusp of being a millennial. I'm on the, you know, the older end of the spectrum of that, I think. But, you know, I think the future is looking good with the way that millennials are thinking about progressive things and social justice. And I was just kind of thinking of the sort of fear that old people can have about the new generation, when you start seeing the new generation coming up behind you, as if they're sort of a army, you know, that is coming for you to replace you, because they are, they really are. And it's so beautiful that, you know, that new ideas replace old ideas. And I thought it would be kind of funny to sort of set that in this dystopian kind of way where the new generation is sort of unapologetically coming for you. And
the old also always complain about the young.
Always.
Like I heard people in my generation, which is Generation X, which is still weird for me to think of that as being like an older generation, which I'm sure every older generation, like it's very shocking when suddenly they're the older generation. But you hear them saying things like millennials are all selfish and they're all, you know, self-absorbed and they're all this, that and the other. And they don't know what it's like to work. And,
isn't it funny?
And I'm like, wait, I remember people saying mm-hmm. that about Generation X, too. Yeah. And every generation, you know, before that, it's just a thing that I guess we do.
Exactly. That's exactly what that song's about. It's like the, you know, as you get older, you're going to complain about the next generation. But the fact is, they're taking over the place.
Yeah.
And it's going to be all right.
Thank you so much for dropping by the studio. And you want to tell folks about the shows that are coming up?
Yeah, we're about to head to the Front Range, playing a few shows, playing in Denver on Thursday tonight at the Lost Lake Lounge. And we're playing in Fort Collins at Avo's. And then we're also playing not too far from here in Aspen on Saturday night on November 11th at the Wheeler Opera House for the On the Rise series.
All right, great. And I've been speaking with Melody Walker of the band Front Country.
Thanks, Allie.
Flying away.